Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above. Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And good evening and welcome, my brothers and sisters, to What the World Needs Now. This is Ken Johnston in the studio and filling in for Kathleen today. And we have a wonderful guest to talk about a servant of God that I was not aware of until Kathleen got in touch with me this morning to pinch hit for this afternoon. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with our guest in just a couple of minutes here. Today is also the beginning of the season of Lent, a great opportunity for us to draw closer to our Lord and Savior through whatever means that we use. To do that, hopefully, in addition to giving things up, we're adding something new, whether it's additional prayer time, adoration, maybe adding some daily masses to your schedule, whatever it is that our church provides this season in order for us to draw closer to our Lord as we prepare for that wonderful feast of Easter. So today is Ash Wednesday, and I have to admit, I haven't gotten my ashes yet. I'm planning on leaving here right after the show and heading to my home parish to make 7 o'clock Mass this evening and get my ashes. But one of my favorite times of the year, because it really does, it forces us to take a look at who we are and what we are, where we are. And again, the church in all its wisdom gives us these 40 days or 40 plus days, really, grow closer to our Lord in all the various ways that are out there. So for those that couldn't get out to Mass today, today's gospel was taken from the 6th chapter of Matthew. And it reads, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." the gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And as we start this Lenten season and kicking it off with Ash Wednesday, it's that tripod. And I think we just talked about it on Friday when Father McKay was on. And he talks about that three-legged stool of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And again, our church, in all its wisdom, sets aside this time for us to pay closer attention to all three. And I hope, like me, that you'll take this opportunity to grow closer to our Lord as we proceed through Lent. And set aside a little bit of extra time maybe for prayer, look for opportunities to do that almsgiving. And one of the things we don't hear much about is fasting and taking that opportunity to give something up, but more importantly, to really sacrifice when it comes to those things that we take for granted every day, whether it's eating or something else that we give up, but to make it count. So, that said, I'm very happy to welcome today. Our guest is Aaron von Uffel, and I just learned earlier today about a cause for the beatification and canonization of Servant of God, Sister Marie de Mondet Grancy, a French nun. And I don't want to get into the whole story because I'm sure Aaron can do a much better job than I will of telling our story. So I'd like at this point to welcome Aaron to the program. Hello, Aaron.
Hi there, and thank you so much for having given me this opportunity to speak about Servant of God, Sister Marie de Mondet Grancy. And I was the person who God placed on my heart to have her cause opened, and it has been a gigantic job. But the good news is that we opened her beatification cause, and we did all of the investigative work. It's a historical cause. And as of September 13th, 2014, all of her documents were sent to the Vatican, and now is the greatest opportunity for people to pray to her so that God will be able to show his glory through her. And Sister Marie, as you said, was a French nun. She was a daughter of charity. She was born September 13th, 1837. She was born of nobility. She lived a very holy, virtuous life. She was completely detached from this world, and she served God with extraordinary charity. She died in 1915 at the age of 77. And she was well known for her charism of the Holy Spirit, and she incited everyone she knew to follow her prayerful promptings to the Holy Spirit, and she herself responded to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit to find the house of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Ephesus, where St. John brought her after the persecutions that were going on in Jerusalem. And it was by the hand of God that Sister Marie was actually able to accomplish the goal of finding the home, and she restored it. And it has become one of the only Catholic shrines in a Muslim country. So God in his providence chose Sister Marie to be the humble soul who would give the church and the world this doorway to the Blessed Virgin Mary in so many different ways. And it was just really interesting because in doing a lot of the research with the cause of Sister Marie, we found that there are so many different signs that show that she really is supposed to be a saint in our time period. If you just look at the news right now or pick up a newspaper or even just listen to what's going on in the world, one of the crises that's happening is the religious persecutions. And there are so many different issues between the different religions. And we've been told that the House of Mary is a place where all of the religions are going to have a tremendous healing. And Fulton Sheen had said at one point that it was going to be the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was going to help us with the Muslims, and she would lead them to Jesus. And Sister Marie is the one who now is standing at the door to the Virgin, and so to speak, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And when we pray to Sister Marie, she places all of us so that we may be inside her Immaculate Heart and bring forth the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yeah, the little bit of that I've seen is, it really is an awesome thing that's going on, especially right now. I think you began this work in 2011 or thereabouts.
Yes.
And, you know, the idea that that it's a Jewish woman and a Jewish apostle that made their way to Ephesus in Turkey, and now it's Christians and Muslims and Orthodox that make their way there, and it sounds like it's millions of people every year that go there, and probably more Muslims than Christians. Is that accurate?
Yes, there are more Muslims than Christians that go there. Sister Marie was able to minister to a lot of the Muslims while she was living in Asia Minor, which is now the modern-day Turkey. And in that period of time, there were many different denominations that were going there. But now there are so many more Muslims, and they go because in the Quran, Surah chapter 19, they honor Mary and they speak about her Immaculate Conception, and they know that she's someone that will help them in their time of need. They especially pray to Mary to become pregnant, so there's many families that are always visiting the house. And we know that it's a place that's going to be a bridge for us in order for us to have a relation with the different Muslims. And it's fascinating. When you do go there, you do feel as though the Blessed Mother is still there. You can literally feel her presence, and the environment is almost identical to the period of time when the Blessed Mother was living there. She's has her stone house, which is built in the shape of a cross, and it's high up on the mountains, so you literally can't see any other structures that are around, so it gives you that timeless historical period. And you see the Isle of Patmos, where St. John received the inspiration for the Book of Revelation, and where he was imprisoned for so long. And you can see the mountains behind her, the house where the Blessed Mother erected the Stations of the Cross. And we have a fascinating book on Sister Marie that a Vincentian priest, Father Carl Schulte, wrote, and it talks about the entire adventure of how the house was found and all the details of how Mary got there and who would live there. And we even have pictures of some of the stones that the apostles inscribed for the different Stations of the Cross. And we have tremendous historical photos as well of Sister Marie actually praying at one of the Stations of the Cross. And the book is Sister Marie, Demandante Grance, and Mary's House in Ephesus. And it's available at tanbooks.com. And I have an 800 number, which is 800-437-5877. 800-437-5876. But it also talks about Sister Marie's background and how God prepared through the centuries for generations of grace just to be steeped into this family. She has a lot of historical saints that you know about, but you haven't connected actually to Sister Marie yet. And one is someone that Pope Benedict had cited in one of his last speeches that he gave, and he spoke about Saint Pierre the Venerable, who was the very first person to actually translate the Quran in 1122. And historically, this translation was known to change the course of history, because for the very first time, Christians were able to understand what was in the Quran, and they were able to see the different points at where they could come together and be able to start just to be able to speak to each other and get some kind of a peaceful situation going. Mm. And another one is St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who actually received his vocation at the Grance Castle, and he is most known for the Memorare. So the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary goes back so many centuries, and he also was from the 11th century. And so you've got that devotion to Mary, and you also have this little weaving of the Muslims in and out of their families. And it's so interesting because this is something that we now are all starting to see, that the gigantic issue that we need to deal with. And whenever there's a problem, God always sends a helper from heaven.
Mm.
And we believe that the helper at this time for this cause is Sister Marie. In fact, when I was early on starting with the cause, I met a priest who was working at the Vatican, and he said to me that he had heard Sister Marie de Mondant Grance's name 30 years before I ever heard of it. And he was told that one day Sister Marie was going to be a saint, and she would be our intercessor with the Muslims. So it's interesting to see how it just keeps coming back and forth. And her very first healing actually was the daughter of a Muslim. And we have several testimonies that a woman who was even blind, living in Qatar, she placed the prayer card on her eyes. She couldn't read it, but a friend had given it to her and told her when she opened up the mail to place it on her eyes. And she was healed of her blindness, and she was living and working in a Muslim country. She was actually teaching English.
Hmm.
I wanted to actually, if it's okay with you, to read the prayer, because it's such a powerful prayer, and this would give your audience an opportunity to ask Sister Marie for a favor. And I'd like to then talk a little bit about the prayer so that they understand it a little bit better.
Sure.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We thank God for giving us the privilege of Sister Marie de Mondant Grance. Through her great generosity, she acquired the property at Ephesus, the home of Mary and St. John the Evangelist. We ask God and Sister Marie to continue to bless the cornerstone given to her. Around this cornerstone, we build our faith, and the powers of darkness will not prevail. We pray for God's will to be completely fulfilled through the intercession of Sister Marie. Amen.
Amen.
So when we speak about God giving Sister Marie the privilege, he placed her in this historic, noble, holy, and virtuous family for her to have her mission of what she has for today. And she also was placed in an order with the Daughters of Charity. When they take their vows, they are still allowed to use any of their means for the good of the church. And so God allowed her to still use the money that was in her family that she was able to use to purchase the house of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's so interesting because Turkey was modern-day Turkey when the house was being bought. And one of the laws stated that a religious organization was not able to own the property. but an individual would be able to. And because of that, she was able to secure and buy the property and restore it. And that's why we were able to have the House of Mary. Who knows what would have happened to it. Now, after they had the house, in her restoration work for the property, they found so many little articles and treasures. They found skeletons where the hands, the head, and the heart were, and the feet were all facing the House of Mary instead of facing Jerusalem, which all bodies would have been placed in their burial to face Jerusalem. So many of these different things, as well as coins of the Emperor Justinian and Constantine, they found moldings from making the wafers for Holy Communion, and it just continued to build the case of this was a first century church house that was in the 3rd century, and into the 4th century a church was laid on top of that property. And we know from the Council of Ephesus that in 431 they declared Mary Mother of God. So when they were doing the restoration work, they found stones from that were laid by the apostles. And that's the stone that we talk about in this prayer. So when we ask for God to bless the stone and the cornerstone, we're really asking God to renew our own faith and to have Jesus as our own cornerstone. And also from after that, for it not only to build our faith, but that the powers of darkness won't prevail. So we are being empowered through our faith and with our church and through the Holy Trinity every single time we say this prayer. And we really have seen so many remarkable things happen. As the vice postulator, I receive most of the testimonies of people. And the good news for your listeners today is that many of the people that ask Sister Marie for a favor, for her intercession, for her help, they have no idea who she is. They just decide, well, I heard that she's doing things for other people, so why not try it myself? Mm-hmm. And those are the most exciting letters I get, because they say, I really didn't think that anything would happen because I didn't have any devotion to her yet. I just figured, you know, I have nothing to lose, but I asked her to help me with, and then they'll state whether they couldn't walk or if they had cancer, if there was some kind of emotional issue in their family, if something was going on with a conversion for someone or themselves. And the very next thing they would say is, and she answered me, and our result was fast and immediate. There are some people that pray this prayer every hour, on the hour, for 9 hours, and they're hoping that their prayer will be answered at the end of the day. And I'll have people get in touch with me during the second hour, and they say, she already answered my prayer. And I say, well, continue with your 9-hour novena, even if you're in Thanksgiving, because God has allowed her. And that's really the main point. Only what God gives Sister Marie permission to do is what she's going to do, because all of the servants and the blesseds and the saints, they are working to accomplish their mission for God, and only when God tells them who they can intercede for. So if God gives her permission, there isn't anything that she can't do. And believe me, there are so many incredible things that have happened. I have seen with this prayer card people touching someone who's sick, and the prayer acts as if it's a first-class relic in some cases, because the person is instantly healed. You'd be able to print this prayer at www.sister, just like brother, sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, Marie.com. A very dear friend, Lorraine, has a blog that she's been so gracious in having all of our information on Sister Marie to go on. So www.sistermarie.com. You can print your own prayer. You'd be able to take a virtual tour to see what Mary's house looks like. You could enter into Mary's house and say Sister Marie's prayer. This prayer also comes with the book, Sister Marie and Mary's House in Ephesus by Tan Books, which again, that 800 number is 800-437-5876. But when you do print off the prayer, or if you get the book, I want you to look at the imprimatur. The imprimatur is from the Archbishop of Smyrna. And Smyrna is the diocese where the current Catholic diocese is, obviously. But Archbishop Giuseppe Bernardini is who gave me his imprimatur, and this imprimatur of Smyrna goes all the way back to the Apostle St. John. It's one of the first of the seven churches written about in the book of Revelations. And I can say, without a doubt, that of all the causes that are going on right now, this is the only servant of God who is linked to one of the first of the seven churches. And going back to that Muslim connection, Sister Marie lived under the last caliphate. She lived during the Ottoman Empire. She lived under the caliph, who was the sultan. She had correspondence with the sultan regarding Mary's house. She needed to ask him permission to do the various things. And thank God, she was granted all of the necessary documents in order for her to go forward. And what's incredible to me is that right after all of her documents were sent to the Vatican, this new caliphate was declared. And I see that as no coincidence.
Right.
I really believe that God is pointing to Sister Marie, and he is trying to encourage all of us to pray to her. Because when God gives us someone, he wants us to go through that person, just like we would for St. Faustina and for St. Therese. They have different missions for God. And this one, I truly believe, is a very big one right now. And that I'm especially doing this for my own family and many of the people who are from New York. All experienced the terror of 9/11, and it definitely made me say, there's got to be something that I can do. And I really believe that this is part of you know, where my prayer was answered, because when you're praying to Sister Marie, you have the power of our entire church and God. And he is giving the ability for us to ask for protection, for us to spiritually place ourselves inside the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I really also believe that when we're saying this prayer, that Our Lady is taking someone who perhaps would want to harm us, and she's placing them also inside of her heart with our prayer. Our prayers, we were told, can stop nature and wars and change the course of history. So I'm urging all of the listeners to help change the course of history by praying to Sister Marie. And many of the ways that people pray it, they include it in their daily prayers. When they wake up, they'll pray the prayer to Sister Marie. It's It's very simple. After you say it a few times, it's very easy to remember. And when they're praying the rosary, I had a mystic tell me that it was very, very powerful to add her prayer at the end of the Fatima prayer after praying each decade of the rosary. And there are other people that pray it. They keep a copy of it in different places in their house so that they're constantly trying to help our world. Yeah. And to just open all of the hearts. You know, we're all the children of Mary. And when Sister Marie was alive, she was a teacher, a nurse. She was a pharmacist. She was a mother to orphans. She was a superior to the Daughters of Charity. As a mother to the different orphans, she was able to gather lots and lots of children all the time, and they had groups, and they were called the Children of Mary. And I see her now, spiritually, when we pray, gathering all of us, just like she would when she was on earth, to gather the Children of Mary and to just have us all come together and to be able to get along with one another. We can just imagine the Blessed Virgin Mary looking at all of the people from all the different countries and all the different religions, and just like a mother saying, can't you just get along with each other?
Right, right. Isn't it the truth? So we are at the bottom of the hour. Aaron, if you can hang on just for a couple minutes.
Sure.
We're going to run our little advertisement here, and then we'll come back, because I do have a couple questions for you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, His Word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA, 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Again, this is Ken Johnston in the studio today, filling in for Kathleen McCarthy. And we've been talking to Aaron Von Uffel about the cause for beatification and canonization of Sister Marie de Monte Grazzi. A very interesting woman, and in the work that she did, both as a sister and in her life, as you were talking about it right before we went to the break, Aaron, but also in how she set out to find the home of the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John the Apostle there in Ephesus. And we talked about finding it in the excavation, but one of the things you didn't mention, Aaron, was how they came to find it, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Sister Marie was inspired by the Holy Spirit to leave France and to go and find the house of Mary. And it was at that exact time that Pope Leo XIII was calling for French missionaries to go to Turkey. The Sultan of Turkey had just signed an agreement with the French government. So the Pope knew that his business people from France were going to be sent to a country where there was nobody who was going to minister to the faith. So as a daughter of charity, Sister Marie was able to volunteer, and she went to Smyrna. And as she was at the French hospital, she was made the superior there, and she immediately tried to find someone who'd be able to go on this adventure and episode to go find the house. She knew, as a French 18th century nun, and she was wearing the same outfit that the flying nun, a lot of your listeners would understand what that looks like, as a daughter of charity, she wouldn't be able to do that. But there was a priest in the Vincentian order. The French Vincentians are called the Lazarus, and they had a Sacred Heart University, and one of the priests would come every day to give communion to the sisters and to help minister to the sick. And as soon as Sister saw one of these priests, she knew that he was going to be the one. However, he was not very interested in doing that, but because Sister Marie was the type of person that would not take no for an answer, and she knew if this was something that God truly was asking of her, that God's will would prevail. And so this priest gathered some other people to go on an expedition, and they left during the summertime when the school was on break. And they were going to prove Sister Marie wrong, as well as the first person to point it out to the world, which was Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who had visions of seeing the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. And she was given the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus. And so she had someone, Clemens Brentano, a German poet, write down her visions. And because there was a book that was published with all this information, they were able to more or less use it as a treasure map to try to find the house. And the priests, instead of following along what Anne Catherine Emmerich was leading them, they kept going off in their own direction. But the story is completely fascinating, and it is all in the book that's written on Sister Marie and Mary's house in Ephesus. But they were able to find the house 3 days after setting off, and the rest was history.
Yeah, I thought it was
fascinating photographs of the home as it was found as well, and the first time that Sister Marie was able to go there, and It was just pretty incredible. And there are replicas of Mary's house in different parts of the world, but if anyone gets to Jamaica, Vermont, you would be able to see an exact replica of the home, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, as I mentioned to you before we came on the air, my son was supposed to go to the house when he was over in Greece last summer and overslept and missed the boat to go over, so maybe I can convince him to take a ride with me up to Jamaica and
yes,
at least get an idea of what he missed.
A little bit easier, but many people who do go on those Mediterranean cruises or find themselves in Greece, it is so easy to get to the House of Mary from there, and many people even stop and they're told they're going to the House of Mary, but they don't even know which Mary it is. But this is truly the home that the Blessed Virgin Mary lived in with that St. John had built.
Right. So I myself have involved in the cause for Matt Talbot's canonization.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we've been we were fortunate to have Father Brian Lawless, who's the vice postulator for his cause, was here a couple of summers ago. And like you, we distribute the prayer cards and relic cards, and we struggle because there's probably been thousands, if not tens of thousands, of miracles, but most of them are in the recovery world. Myself being in recovery from alcoholism, and we see a lot of folks that'll claim that they've recovered from drug addiction or alcoholism or gambling.
Wonderful.
Through.
Yes.
Matt Talbot's intercession, but it's tough to prove those types of miracles in a sufficient way for the church in order to move him along to beatification. And before the break, you had mentioned the woman in Qatar whose vision was restored. Are you anywhere in the process now of having any of these miracles approved in order to move?
We have probably 10 gigantic cases that we are documenting. Some of them are further on than others. We have another one that's even more recent. There seems to be some significance with eyes and hearts. And for people who were supposed to have surgery, who all of a sudden don't need surgery anymore. And I think that has a lot to do with Sister Marie working in a hospital, doing a lot of surgical work, and seeing how dangerous it was, especially in her time period, for someone to have an open operation with surgery. But I really am not able to discuss everything at this time regarding the possible miracles. Only the Congregation of the Saints would be able to say it. But we have received medical records from so many people. There was a woman who had a tumor on her face, and she placed the prayer card of Sister Marie on it from August 15th to September 8th, and on September 8th, it disappeared. And her husband, who's a radiologist, he told her that the type of tumor that she had needed to be cut out of her face. She wouldn't be able to have radiation for it. And if they cut it out of her face, she wasn't going to have most of her face left. So she was ecstatic that Sister Marie was able to preserve her face and her life. And her prayer card even has done these miraculous things. It's interesting how all these manifestations happen, and it's truly a mystery. These things, you can't explain them.
Right.
You just absolutely can't explain them. But Sister Marie even does little things. There was a sister of a religious community who wanted to have a statue of Our Lady of Lourdes. And so she started to pray to Sister Marie, and the very next person that she went to see came up to her and said, "I have money for you, and I want you to put together a grotto and build a huge garden and also get a statue of Our Lady of Lourdes. You just can't even make this stuff up.
Right.
There was a friend of mine who had received some gym equipment for a charity event, and her husband was going to be moving this gigantic equipment to the place where it was going to be raffled off, and he hurt his back. So she started to pray to Sister Marie, not only to help her husband with his back, but to try to figure out how on earth this gigantic equipment now was going to be moved to the charity event. And right after praying to Sister Marie, she stopped to get some gas at the gas station, and she ran into a friend, and he said, "Oh, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm opening up a school, and I'm looking for every type of equipment you can think of." And she said, "I have gym equipment?" And he said, "I need it right away. Would it be all right if I come right over and pick it up, and I'll just give you a check, and then you can give it to the charity, you know, immediately?" So Sister Marie takes care of so many issues in ways that go above and beyond that the people are even asking for. When real estate was really difficult for people to sell homes, we had a Jewish real estate agent who would stop into the religious store in our town and keep picking up Sister Marie's prayer card because she said she was the only one selling homes at that time. And maybe that's because she had to buy the home of the Blessed Mother. And, you know, she knows what it's like trying to purchase a home and to sell one. But people are also going to her because she was a pharmacist and because there are so many issues now with people of all ages, with their addictions, with the different drugs, whether it's someone who, you know, a business person who hurt themselves and they were put on pain medication and then all of a sudden they get addicted. All sorts of people now are turning to Sister Marie as a pharmacist to help for them to stop their addictions, but she's also very well known for just pestering the doctor in any medical case to get them to put the person on the correct medicine. There was a woman who in Croatia who had a heart attack, and her daughter was praying to Sister Marie. And she had a really, you know, death experience, and Sister Marie was able to revive her. But she was put right back on the same medicine that she was on prior to it. And Sister Marie kept pestering this doctor to look at the medical files and look at what you actually have this woman back on. And it was several months later that the doctor said, "You know, for the last few months it's been bothering me, and I can see I had your mother on the wrong heart medicine for the last 10 years. So Sister Marie had helped get this woman revived, but then they were putting her on the same medicine that was going to kill her again. Right. So Sister Marie stayed on the case until the doctor was able to, you know, change the course. And there's just so many interesting things that she does. And like I said, it's only when God gives permission that she's allowed to step in and to intercede. But every time you say this prayer, you're laying a foundation stone to the path of peace between all of our religions. And as this priest from the Vatican had said to me, that he was told that one day Sister Marie would be a saint and she would be our intercessor with the Muslims. So I really believe that that's part of, you know, the greatest part of her mission. And when you do say the prayer, there's so many benefits. Something good happens for everyone in the whole world. You can pray, and if God gives permission, your prayer is being answered. But at the same time, perhaps your prayer is also helping all of those who are suffering right now, the refugees, the different people who have been enslaved, all of the different issues that are happening in the world.
Right.
we only have about 8 minutes left in the show, and one of the things as you're speaking and you talk about these, you know, some people call them coincidences. I always think that they're just God's way of remaining anonymous. Sometimes my good friend Father McKay would always ask, "Is that odd or is that God?" And I was not the individual that was supposed to be doing the show today. Kathleen's normally here on Wednesdays doing these interviews. And a few minutes ago, you had mentioned about these miracles or these cures that take place around the eyes and hearts. And our listeners will know that probably for the last year, when I've been on, I'm usually on Fridays in an hour where we pray with and for people. And we've been praying for my sister, who's got an autoimmune deficiency thing going on that's resulting in her losing the vision in one eye. And they're trying to keep the vision in the other eye. So I can tell you right now that as a result of this show that I'll be, I already have a printout of the prayer card for myself. Yep, I got it. And it'll be placed on her eyes as soon as I can get to her.
Yes. You know? And also have another copy placed in the bottom part of her pillow so that it's not going to interrupt her when she's sleeping, but that it's, there's contact. There's my own dad, his foot had turned black, and my mom called and said, you know, tell me, how is this working with the prayer card? And I said, well, keep a prayer card next to the bed so that you can always say the prayer when you wake up and when you go to bed. But for some reason, contact of the prayer card, whether it's a printed card, whether it's one from the computer, whether it's the one from the book, they're all working the same way. And I said, place the prayer card underneath the sheets down by our dad's foot, and the next day his foot was perfect. Now, anybody in the medical profession can tell you that once skin has turned black, and it was his entire foot, she had so many doctors telling her that he was going to have an amputation.
Mm.
And that one night, everything reversed. From saying the prayer and asking God to give Sister Marie permission. So I would say this is a prayer. Anyone who's listening, you want to have it. It is going to be of benefit to you and your family. Because anytime you're praying, good things are going to happen to you and your family, regardless. It would be icing on the cake if God gives permission for your particular prayer to be answered. There was someone who thought that she was going to be divorced, and she kissed her husband up to Sister Marie, and that night, her husband came home with French soap and perfume and roses and said, I don't know why, but I had to get you something French, and I just want to tell you that you're the love of my life, and I'm so happy to be with you. And this woman, she just giggled to herself because she knew
right.
That was Sister Marie showing that, yeah, I got to him. I opened his heart, and he does love you. And I always tell people, when you pray to Sister Marie, she is in your life, and she is such a funny person. She's got a great sense of humor and a wonderful personality, and she will physically show you that she's in your life. Whether she's allowed to give you permission, you know, God, she gets permission from God to intercede, is regardless of the fact that she will now be with you. She's like your new best friend. And if people are having different procedures done at a hospital, I always say, if you're praying to Sister Marie, look for her, because someone French or someone with the name Marie, or there'll be some association to her that will come to you so that she'll comfort you in that way.
Mm.
And I get such funny phone calls and letters from people telling me how and when she showed up. And I get multiple testimonies. So it's not a one and done. If you pray to her and your prayer's answered, oh, it'll never happen again. I have sometimes three or more testimonies from the same exact person because they say, well, she did it last time. I'm going right back to her. She'll do it again. And again, I suggest, even for Lent, it's such a great book to read. Sister Marie de Mondant Grancey and Mary's House in Ephesus from tanbooks.com. And the 800 number is 800-437-5876. And you could also print the prayer card from www.sistermarie.com. And tell her I sent you, and tell her that I want her to help you and your families and our world, because we need to have a spiritual community for us all to work together, and we are part of the communion of saints, and we have a church that's alive, and God is living and breathing and sharing his glory through the saints and allowing them to come and to touch us in these times. And we need to reach out and touch them back and say, yes, come and help us. And we are the children of Mary, and we want to be placed in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What a safe place to be.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to say the prayer again and ask your audience to ask Sister Marie to do something specific for them, and if their prayer is answered, please get back in touch with us or the radio station. They'll know how to contact our cause so that you can be placed in the file at the Vatican. And who knows, maybe it'll be the miracle that beatifies or canonizes Sister Marie. Mm. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We thank God for giving us the privilege of Sister Marie de Mondant Grancey. Through her great generosity, she acquired the property at Ephesus, the home of Mary and St. John the Evangelist. We ask God and Sister Marie to continue to bless the cornerstone given to her. Around this cornerstone, we build our faith, and the powers of darkness will not prevail. We pray for God's will to be completely fulfilled through the intercession of Sister Marie. Amen.
Amen. Aaron, it's been a real pleasure to be with you for this hour and learning so much about Sister Marie. We did have one person that called in off the air and was asking about obtaining prayer cards, but does not have a computer. Will that 800 number, is there...
If they get the 800 number, they can order the book, and the prayer card is in it. That was one of the things that I asked for the book company to do, because I said, this prayer card is so powerful. It has to be placed in each book so that they can take it and share it and make their own copies. So they'd be able to get it that way, and then they'll have it, and they can make multiple copies with it.
And that phone number again was 800-437?
800-437-5876.
And again, if any of our
800-437-5876.
And again, if any of our listeners, if you didn't have a pen handy, you can call back at a later date. We'll have that information here to get it to you. So again, Aaron, it's been a real pleasure learning about Sister Marie. I know I'll be taking her up as one of my own, in addition to my, again...
Yes, I pray, my Mass and my Communion goes to all those who are praying to Sister Marie, so I will be adding mine to all of yours, and I hope that we have good news back. May God's permission be granted.
Amen. Thank you very much, Aaron. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
God bless you
so much.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And my brothers and sisters, it's been that hour went by a lot quicker than I thought it would. Wishing you and yours a holy and a special Lenten season, that you'll go closer to our Lord as we progress through Lent. Again, if you're away from the church now, especially in this Lenten season, it would be a wonderful time to come back, because we're not complete without you. So until Friday, when I'm back and hopefully praying with you again, I just want to thank you for listening, for all the support here at In His Sign. And until we meet again, take care and God bless.